This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt the Hitman Mizzler, best in the Bizzler, and you got Mr. Electric. Boom, boom, Matty Leach. 734-998-1050. 734-998-1050. Give us a call. Question of the day. Are you glad Harborary is over early? Yes, it's early. And you ready to move on? I mean, are you ready to move on? 734-998-1050. Ron in Ann Arbor. What's up, Ron? How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Long time no hear from, Ron.
Yeah, I've been kind of quiet. Been kind of, you know, kind of laying in the woods and watching what's going on and so forth.
Almost like the Tigers.
I have my take on the Harbaugh situation, and it's probably not going to make a whole lot of people happy. He's a very good coach, and he's had an excellent last 2 years. Up till that point, you know, it's kind of been kind of hit and miss since he's been here. Way too much drama. Way too much drama with this coach. And I'll tell you what, I'm tired of, Jamie. I'm tired of these long winters after losing our last game every year. Every year. It doesn't matter what game it is, we're losing them. His bowl record overall stinks. The way these teams have played in the last game on many occasions has been horrible. Even this last game, giving up 51 points and losing to a team that you were heavily favored in, that's bad. I don't care how you cut the mustard. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Jim Harbaugh. Or I don't care if you're Vince Lombardi. That's terrible. That's terrible. He's hurting recruiting by this nonsense at the end of the year, and he's probably hurting the morale of the current players and the current staff. I mean, they're sitting in the wind waiting for this guy to make his next move. These guys' jobs are on the line by him doing this. If he has a burning itch to coach again in the NFL, then go. It's not going to break my heart. I'm tired of this. This is nonsense. Good coaches, great coaches, don't put their fans, don't put their players, don't put their staff, you know, and all the students there at the university through this nonsense. It's garbage. And I don't care if he's Jim Harbaugh or Vince Lombardi or whoever he is. There's no call for this. You know, not only is the university and all those people and myself included, I'm tired of this nonsense. And so do the teams that he's probably, you know, going back and forth with the NFL. What kind of person is doing this? If he's not happy here, leave. I don't care. I want a coach that wants to stay here and is dedicated to be here, and don't put your players, don't put your recruits, and don't put your fans through this year after year after year. Now he's got an NCAA thing hanging over his head. You know, it's time for him to shape up and grow up. So that's my take on Harbaugh. I want to say something about a couple of other teams. The basketball team, obviously, has been a disappointment. Season's not over with, but they better get their act together. They won't even be going to the NIT with the trend that they're in. The women's basketball team is playing fine, and I'm very happy to see the hockey team in the last month start to play Michigan hockey. So that gives us something to look forward to for the rest of the winter. But I am tired of Jim Harbaugh's nonsense. I like him as a coach. I admire what he's done, you know, especially the last 2 years. I'm tired of him losing this last game of the year, year in and year out. No excuse for it. I don't want to hear anything, you know, keep praising him and praising him. He's not the greatest coach that I've ever seen or ever will see. So, you know, I just wish he would grow up and start treating people, you know, the way you should, with respect and with some class. Most of the people here and most of the fans deserve better than what he's given them. So that's my take. I'm sorry I have to wait so long to get on and with my spiel, but, you know, if I offended anybody, I'm sorry. But this is nonsense. Grow up. Thanks, Jamie, and you guys take care.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the phone call.
He's been kind of quiet, like the Tigers have been. That's why I thought he was like, I've been waiting for the Tigers to do something. I'm like, right. Ron, I've been waiting too, man. But hey, I can't disagree with him, you know, to a certain degree as far as the Harbaugh stuff. I mean, let's be honest here. It's I know each and every year that's always a conversation, even after that 2-4 season. It was always that conversation of him possibly going back to the NFL. And it, I mean, maybe I'm just numb to it now. I'm just like, whatever. Go ahead. You want to go? Go ahead. I don't care. Whatever.
No, I mean, I think we're all tired of it. There isn't a Michigan fan who isn't tired of it by now, but it's, are you willing to deal with it, to continue to have the results that we want? Because as Ron was describing the guy that he wanted to be the coach here in Ann Arbor, it sounded a lot like Brady Hoke, a guy that wanted to be here, would do anything to be here, but you don't have the results. It doesn't really matter. So I know, Ron, we're all tired of it. But one thing you're not tired of is winning the Big Ten and being in that championship. And yes, we all want to win the last game of the year. We all do. But again, I just think that this is something that we've got to strap in and just somewhat, I don't want to say get used to it, but learn how to deal with it. Because if not, are you willing to risk that being where we are right now? And that's a big risk. You're right. There's other coaches that could get it done, but it's potential that they don't. And so are you willing to take that risk?
Well, wait a minute now. Ron, he has the right of his own personal decisions and own rights, yep. And he's going to call it like he call it, and he doesn't like what happens. He, yep. Look, he doesn't like the last game of the season, whether it's a bowl game or Ohio State being your last game. He doesn't like the losses. I get that. I get that he doesn't like – he wants to have a coach that definitely here. Ron sounds like a gentleman that has harkened back to the years of having Bo. You always had a coach that was going to be here no matter what. I'll be here next year. I'm going to be here next year. Lloyd Carr was the same way. Hey, Gary Muller was the same way. We had changes when, I think even Brady Hoke was here all the time. Rich Rodriguez was not looking elsewhere. That being said, the trend went the other way. Now it's, you know, when this coach wins and he and everybody thinks he's, you know, he's got the team back together and the team is a hot team. All of a sudden, we get called. He's going to get phone calls from the NFL. He's supposed to say, I'm going to be here. But you know what? It started. I may have possible interest. And you know what? That's right. Some people aren't going to like it. I get it. Ron, you have the right to say what you want to say. And I applaud you for putting it out there saying, I'm not happy with it. And I, you know what? I don't give a damn who cares. That's what
I agree with you. We're all not happy about it. But again, what are you willing to risk to change it?
Well,
willing to give up on coach? Because again, like you said, Ron sounds like he's ready to move on. I would say are a lot of people in that camp where they're ready to again take a risk of taking a step backwards as a program. I don't think anybody wants to do that right now.
Well, I don't know about taking a step back if you get the right coach, the right assistant.
That's a big right if. Coach.
Look, it took time for Harbaugh to get the right position too, because we all thought he was going to come right in, and we got spoiled on that first season, and then
first two.
Whatever, we got spoiled on it. And then we got disappointed. So then all of a sudden got turned around. But it took some pushing from the athletic director. And that's why I think that's what happened. 734-998-1050, Hadley.
Jamie, this show today was a wild show. And I think from now on, when this documentary drama with Harbaugh comes up next year, if it does, you've got to have your man when you had him on and you had all that breaking news, you got to have him on next time next year around this time, because he seems to be good luck. Because
who are you talking about? Austin,
you know,
Austin, yeah. Meeks. Okay, I just want to make sure who you're talking. I was like, have Ron on or have Austin?
No,
on one of the two.
No. No, I have Austin on, because it was we got all the good news that, you know, Denver finally got their man and everything. So he may be good luck next year if this happens again. So I'll have to keep that in mind. But probably have to wait till the end of January again, because it'll drag out as usual. Hey, look, let me ask you this, Jamie. When Bo coached for all those years, did the NFL never came after him, did they?
No.
Now, why do you think that is?
I don't know. He's always made pretty aware of everybody that he was going to be the coach at Michigan. He pretty much made it. Even when Texas A&M came to get him, he pretty much, he needed to, I from what he told me, he had to establish his beachhead on what's his name? Don Canham. And he wasn't getting the appropriate funds, as he would say, for his coaching staff and him. So he took a look at Texas A&M. And you know what? It's always good for a coach to check out what he's worth. He was worth a lot down there.
But I'm going to ask, and you guys would know better, were there many coaches that made – I mean, there hasn't been all throughout history, but were there many coaches that made the jump in the 70s or 80s from college to the
NFL? Lou Holtz made the jump. Yeah, there's a lot of coaches. Chuck Fairbanks made the jump. There was a lot of coaches.
I was too young at the time, so that's why I'm kind of asking.
Philly E's coming on next. He'll
be able to break them all down.
But there were a ton of coaches in college that made the jump. I mean, if you want to include Barry Switzer, you can. That was a jab at Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy had put that team together, and Barry just rode the coattails of Jimmy Johnson. I don't care what anybody says. That was a jab at Jimmy Johnson when he put that team together. And you know what? Don't get me started. I hate what Jerry did. He really messed up, and Jimmy belongs in that Dallas Cowboy Ring of Fame, and he holds it over Jimmy Johnson's head. I just want you to know that everybody knows that. Jerry Jones, you idiot. Anyway, that being said, I'm sorry, Hadley. I digress. Yes, there were other coaches that went to the league from the 70s and the 60s. They tried. I mean, look, but a lot of them failed.
Well, yeah. Why do you think Lloyd Carr never tried to go to the NFL? Because he had some really good years. Or why they didn't come to him.
Lloyd loves the passion. There are coaches. If you're a college football coach, you love recruiting. You love the football. You love the camaraderie. You love the young men around you. You love the coaching staff that you build. I mean, that's what Lloyd loved.
You've got to be a truly special. Again, the college coaches that do make the jump, it's few and far between, and there's been plenty of great college coaches that haven't made the look. Why? Because the NFL doesn't have the interest. Like, you never heard? Did you ever hear about the NFL coming after Lloyd or anything like that?
No,
I don't think so.
You got to understand, these are grown ass men. When you get to the next level, they're not gonna take from you yelling and screaming at them.
Oh,
they're not gonna
make a whole lot more money than you do.
Exactly. They're not gonna take from what you look at. They're going to say, look at here, little man, I know what I'm doing. You just go over there and sit, chew on your gum or your chaw or whatever you got in your mouth and leave me the hell alone.
Let me make my plays and call it a day.
And I don't blame Ron for what he said. He has every right to say what he says, and you do get tired of it. Right around the end of the year, wondering, well, is he going to try again to go to the NFL or what? I suppose once you get that bug and it just stays up there, he just wants to, you know, maybe pursue it. You just never know. And I don't blame him for feeling the way he does, because we all get a little frustrated when this happens. But, you know, and I'm tired. I don't like his bowl record either, but all he has to do is, and I don't mean to harp on it, but all he has to do is go back and look at Bo's bowl record. What did it take him, 7 years to win his first bowl game? Now, I know there were a few years where he didn't get a bowl game because of the Big Ten rules and stuff like that, so you can't really count that. So what would you say?
Two and two. My 4 years with Bo Schembechler, 2-2. We won 2, we lost 2. So, I'm just letting you know. He knew how to win bowl records. He couldn't win the big ones, the Rose Bowls. He couldn't win the Rose Bowls. It was tough. I guess, you know, it was a lot of pressure on. The Big Ten used to put a lot of pressure on you. I'll tell you what.
You're playing a road game in California. And also with those first bowl games, I mean, they ended up playing the eventual national champion at least 3 or 4 times. And certainly in that game in 78, you argue with the phantom touchdown that they should have won, but bring up Stan Edwards holding onto that ball against Washington, even though I guess that they weren't an eventual national champion. there were a number of them that they were right there, but couldn't get close. But again, that's not a bowl game where you're playing, you know, a seven and five team, or, you know, you're playing a team that's, you know, all those were, again, for the most part, either against eventual national champions or eventual top three or four teams.
And just briefly on the basketball, Jamie, I don't think you brought this up, but when we talked about the Purdue game, and of course Hunter was going against Edie and all that stuff, and you just thought maybe he was gassed out and everything. Don't you think that for him and the whole team that carried over to the Penn State game, because you saw how flat they were playing?
No. I just think they felt sorry for themselves. Look. You're talking about kids that go to AAU basketball games and play all day. They play games all day long. They shouldn't be tired. I don't know why everybody thinks they are tired and everything like that. Look, as I said, Juwan runs his basketball like a pro team. He wants them to get rest. He wants them to study. He wants them to be able to, he's not pushing them being hammered and you got to be on the practice floor every chance you get. No. He browbeats them during camp, but after camp, you come out of camp, he wants to keep you fresh. He's trying to keep you fresh. So I get it. They played on Thursday night. They had what? Friday, you had rest day. You come back and have a practice on Saturday. You get on the plane. You fly to Penn State. I mean, you really didn't do much with your legs after Thursday, really. I mean, I'm just saying, I've seen a team – look at. Do you remember when they went to they played the Big Ten championship in Big Ten tournament in Madison Square Garden? How many games they played back to back? Remember how the league squashed it down so they could get that in? Remember
also,
that?
we were like what, like the 7 or 8 seed? We weren't getting any buys or anything right. like that. We were playing a lot.
I'm just saying, so it the body can do it, and they're young enough where the body can do it. But Hadley, this team. I'm not saying they tanked it. I'm saying it was a bad game. I think they were feeling sorry for themselves. I think they believed that they should have won that Purdue game. And one bad game rolled into another bad game. That's what happens. You don't want a loss to roll into two losses because of the first loss. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and Hadley, I would just say that that's part of just the normal Big Ten schedule that they play, where they play once during the week and then once on the weekend. It's not like, again, Northwestern, they have a rescheduled game here tonight where they're playing Tuesday and Thursday. That's not something that typically happens. Or when we've seen the condensed Big Ten schedule the past few years, I mean, there was some times where we played like 4 games in 8 days or right. something like that. When you have something like that, then maybe you can give the, hey, they had some tired legs, but, you know, there were a lot of reasons for our poor play here on Sunday. I do not think that us not having our legs should have been one of them.
Yeah, I see your point, and it's well documented, and we'll just have to see. Hopefully they can bounce back on Thursday, because if they lose that game, I think that's going to be a little embarrassing because, you know, Northwestern has been
good
all
these years. Why? They're the second place team in the Big Ten.
It's Northwestern, though, Matt, like you said.
I get it, but everybody, and Jamie talked about this weekend being a must win. What I'm worried about now is everybody, like, we're not going to win the rest of the games on our schedule.
No.
But everybody's going to say each game is a must win. So when we lose, it just sets it up for, oh, well, now the season's lost. We're not making the NCAA tournament. We're in the NIT, all these different things. Like, we just need to take it, as our guy Jake in Ann Arbor says, one game, one play, one moment at a time. And if not, we could find ourselves in some trouble. But we've got to – I caution – viewing every game as a must win, because we're going to lose some of them, and we can't let, like Jamie said, one bad game turn into two like it did here this past week.
And I'll just close out with that commercial that Miz played for you, Jamie, with Russell. That's one of the funniest commercials that I've heard. I haven't seen it myself, but I know the one you're talking about. But I love the part at the end.
About, it's so good.
Yeah, I love the part of I love that part about the airplane. He's got to put that in his bits and keep that as a drop from now on. right up there with your Angelique interpretation of me. So we'll talk tomorrow, boys. Bye.
Where are you? Bye. Thanks, Hadley. 734-998-1050. Hey, Philly E, what's going on?
Oh, what's going on? I heard something that really just almost made me vomit. Did you guys say Harbaugh to Green Bay? I mean, really?
I say Harbaugh to
that's
Green Bay.
That's what J-Mo said.
I say Harbaugh to Green Bay.
That's they only okay. That's when only A. A. if Dan Ron, Campbell will allow
A. A. Ron him. A.A. Ron gets traded to wherever he gets traded to, Green Bay's going to become a sloppy team.
And that's and only if Dan Campbell will allow it.
LaFleur is going to he's going to get out of there. They're going to get him out of there quick and then Harbaugh to Green Bay.
Oh my God, I would lose. I would be like Mariano Rivera getting traded to the Red Sox like circa 2004.
Ew,
I would
gross.
Lose my friggin' mind if that happens. First of all, I'm sick of that freaking team. You already know. Listen, two quarterbacks in what, 30 plus years, breaking my balls now since 92. I'm sick and tired of them. And hell, you can even throw Mikowski in there for a couple of years, like 89. But I'm sick of them. And hey, listen, I was driving to work today and I was talking to my friend today on the phone. He's a huge Eagles fan. And we were talking about the creeper from the Green Lagoon. We were talking about him. And I said, dude, you remember like these dudes that are like 40 and younger, they have no freaking clue. This is a destination job now. When we were kids, it was purgatory. It was Siberia. And I think I mentioned on this radio a long time ago that like Gene Klein, John Jefferson, who was the best receiver in all of football, you know, there was, you know, I guess he wanted to renegotiate his contract again, I think. And, you know, Gene Klein, the San Diego Chargers owner, he said, okay, you know what? No problem. I'll fix your ass. I'll trade you to frickin' Green Bay. And off he went. So here's John Jefferson going from frickin' Air Coryell to Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I know, you got to be older to know. And I think I brought this up before. When John McKay first had clips, you know, of like you'd see a spot on John McKay and like they're trying to get the guys back on the sideline and he'd be like, the next son of a gun, I'm going to send your ass to Green Bay. I mean, here's a guy at Tampa Bay who probably hadn't even won a game yet because you keep in mind now they were winless in 76. I don't think they won till the last two games of 77. So they had 26 games and like you're making fun of Green Bay. That's how bad Green Bay was. And now, you know, 30 something years later, it's a destination job. It's just
Green Bay was a stigma in its day. Yes, it did. Everybody when Green Bay stopped winning championships, and I'm going to say this, it was very harsh on African American players up there.
Yeah, I remember a spot James Lofton saying that when he was there earlier in his career. But I remember Pete Axthelm, the late Pete Axthelm used to, like, when Green Bay would play Tampa Bay, it was called the Bay of Pigs. He called
it the Bay of Pigs
matchup, right? It was great. So I'm dying to see what happens if the creep leaves because, you know, I'm seeing on the news today he could be leaving. He's seeking a trade. I don't know. I kind of saw it in
you know
a bar
what?
Today.
He's whining. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
he would lose his hero status if he left. He would not be the person he is if he left. I'm just telling you, he shouldn't leave on bad things, leaving Green Bay. He would not have the status if he left Green Bay now in the state of their program.
Yeah. I get it. Hey, and who knows? Maybe he grows his hair longer again, puts it in a ponytail. And he starts bouncing at the double douche like
Nicolas
he did this
Cage.
Last summer.
He looked like Nicolas Cage, didn't he?
he looks like freaking Gar from freaking. He's bouncing at the double douche. I know I'm mixing movies, but you know what the hell I mean.
I know what you're saying.
I did not pay much attention to the. And by the way, shout out to Ronnie, man. He basically said everything we've been feeling for weeks, if not months. I mean, this is just. So shout out to him. And listen, I'm a huge Jim fan. We all know this. But this is getting old. But between you and me, I did not pay attention to these latest rumors. I just didn't have the energy for it anymore. I just don't. That's number one. Number two, I didn't really believe him. Now I may be completely wrong. Maybe there was a lot of truth to this. I just wasn't believing him, just because if they put out that tweet with the president, you know, several weeks ago, it's like, come on, man. Speaking of guys that left, you already mentioned him, that went to the pros. John McKay was pretty successful. Right,
he took over
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, he was the very first coach, and they went from worst to first in '79. And
come on, whose team is that? Who took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Come on, baby, I rode them all the way.
John McKay, baby, come on.
Exactly.
So they made the playoffs in '79, right? And we were actually talking about that game, that 9-0 game yesterday.
Yeah.
They went to the playoffs again in '81 because the stupid Lions had everything sitting on their freaking lap. All they had to do was hold serve at home on the last game of the season. They would have won a division. And Kevin House, you know, was a freaking Doug Williams to Kevin House, like 85 yards, right? Anyway. And John Robinson, his replacement. There's another one, right? Went from USC to the Rams. Was pretty successful. And you're right. Switzer was not only born on third at Oklahoma, but boy, look at the situation he took over. And I said this last year, that the freaking Dallas Cowboys could have won 5 Super Bowls if it wasn't for free agency and Jimmy Johnson leaving. Because prior to what, 1993-ish, I'm going to say, or like, there wasn't any free agency. It wasn't like it is now.
No.
And boy, if they could have kept the depth that they, it wasn't just the core guy, but it was the depth. I mean, that team could have made a historic run, but unfortunately, free agency came along, and Jimmy started getting his balls broken by Jerry. And it's funny, when you stop and think about that now, because Jerry seems so patient now. Like Garrett, the redhead, dude, I'd have fired his ass a long, long time ago. I can't believe that he gave that dude such a long leash. And I'll be honest with you, this bozo that they have right now, by the way, he just cleaned out half his staff apparently today. I'd have fired his ass too last year. I mean, they looked unprepared. They just look like a sloppy football team. They got to put a real coach there, somebody that's going to kick ass and take names and get the best out of that team. And I don't think they're getting that. Dan Devine, by the way, left Missouri, went to the Packers. They won a division title in 1972. That was the one year my Vikings were down. And for all you Big Ten fans, John Brockington from Ohio State was the go-to guy. And believe it or not, Joe Paterno, I think the New England Patriots dangled a carrot in front of him, but he did not take that job. And guys, the reason we lost to USC, listen, here's the difference. And it pains me to say it, but here's the thing. You know, we didn't have the passing game when we went out west. We couldn't simulate what USC was able to do, what Washington was able to do. We just couldn't. That's my belief. I could be wrong. But, you know, you get athletes, I mean, let's face it, they could throw the ball out on the West Coast. And every time we're geared to beat Ohio State, and they couldn't throw. Who are we kidding, right? They couldn't throw. That's why, like, 1971, we're undefeated, and we lose to frickin' Don Bunce and frickin' Stanford. And the year before, Plunkett beat Ohio State. So it's like, you know, Michigan, Ohio State were not geared on defense well enough to deal with teams that could throw the football. Part of the reason was I don't think they could simulate that in practice, like, you know, that could be on the par with what they were going to see in those bowl games. You guys could disagree. I don't know. But that's how I look. Not to mention, guys, those freaking teams that they played were really, really talented. The only game I think you can bitch and complain about is we probably should have beat Warren Moon in Washington, but, you know, You get behind the eight ball 20-0. You really, you know, you put yourself behind the eight ball, and they had a chance to win that game, but or at least tie it. Something happened with Stan. The ball was like stuck on his helmet. Yeah, it was the freakiest play.
The only team that they should have lost to, because the referee made a bad ass call, was the Phantom touchdown. Other than that,
you're right.
Those Big Ten teams should have won those games. They just look. I I can only speak for myself when I went out there and played. So I can't speak for those teams, but I thought those teams were pretty damn good. Just saying.
Okay. They were. Yeah, they were. Hey, listen, go look at the roster. Look at the roster of pros on that 78 USA USC
no,
team.
No, you're right. You're right. But I'm saying.
Insane. Oh, insane.
I got you. Hey, Philly, before you go, before you go, a little segue. Before you go, what conference led the way with the most Super Bowl quarterback appearances since 2013?
Say that again. Most
what
quarterbacks
conference led the way for most quarterbacks in the Super Bowl appearances since 2013.
Since gotta be
2013 to 2022. So think about it.
Brady's been in a bunch, hasn't he?
Yeah, Brady's been in half of those bad boys. So how would they say the Big Ten?
What conference?
I would say the Big Ten.
Okay, you are right. They have there seven appearances.
Family.
The Big Ten has seven. The SEC has five. The Big 12 has four. The Pac-12 has two. And the ACC has one. And I don't know what this division is. It's the OVC, which is, I think it's, what do you call it?
Ohio Valley Conference.
Which is, I think it's Steve McNair who appeared in that one. I'm not sure, but... That's
Steve McNair. That's 2000. That's not 2013.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
He's old. Yeah, he's a lot older than that.
Ohio Valley?
I'm trying to think who in the Big Ten besides Tom Brady has played in one.
In the Big Ten? Oh, Christ. I got to think about that one. Since 2013. Well, Russell Wilson, he counts, right? And I know he was a. I know he was originally an NC State guy, but he did go to frickin' Wisconsin, right? He's got a count,
right?
You are right.
I consider him an ACC guy. He started for 3 years down there, and people pretend like he never even played at NC State.
They don't even care. They don't even care about what he did in ACC. All right, Philly, I got to go to a break because I'm going to get in trouble. That being said, I'll talk to you tomorrow. You're listening to the M Zone, the premier show.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.